Welcome to the Springs Church Podcast, where we explore the teachings of Jesus Christ and how they can be applied to our daily lives. Join us as we delve into the Bible and discuss topics such as faith, hope, love, and forgiveness. Our mission is to inspire and empower our listeners to live a life of purpose and meaning and to deepen their relationship with God. Tune in every week for a new episode as we learn how Holy Spirit, the Bible, and a relationship with Jesus will impact every area of your life.
It is a good day to be in the house of God. I'm excited. Easter is just, we need to celebrate it every single day. But hey, when we get a weekend where we can just celebrate and what Jesus did for all of us, man, it is phenomenal to do that. And so whether you're here for the very first time, whether this is the one Sunday you darken the doors of a church, hey, I'm pumped you're here, okay? Either way, come as you are. I love being able to do church, and it's excited. And I dressed down today. You like my hoodie? It's a good. I know some of you, maybe not in third service, but not wearing a suit, okay? But hey, you are welcome here, however, wherever you've come from, whatever you've done, whatever it is that you think of yourself, I don't care whether you're in a t-shirt. I guess the line we draw is that you have clothes, right? Like that'd be the biggest line we'd probably draw. Like, keep that shirt on, that'd be good. But hey, I wanted to come in a hoodie today, so I did. I'm ready to break some stereotypes, you know? I'm honoring God with my hoodie, so here we are. But man, church is such a good place to be, and I'm excited to get into God's word, so I better get started. So let's pray. Actually, let's welcome Calgary first and online church. Welcome, Calgary. You guys are awesome. All the way out there in Alberta, online, wherever you're watching, you're a part of this church. It is one big family on many locations, which we absolutely love here at church. So why don't you bow your heads, close your eyes, and let's just pray until as we get into God's word. In Jesus' name, God, we thank you for this amazing opportunity that we have to be celebrating what we are celebrating right now, that Jesus came, that he conquered, that he was victorious, and now we can live victorious, God. So we thank you that we're alongside that story, that we have risen with Jesus today, God, and we know that we are just going to live the most amazing life when we are connected to you. We thank you for every form of leadership in this world, in this country, God, whether it's city, whether it's province, whether it's country, whatever it is, God, we thank you that they are leading us in your perfect will. And we thank you that they're just strong, that they have courage, God. And we thank you that those that are all about themselves and just never about you, Jesus, we thank you that we can remove them and elect someone even better that will continue to lead this country into your perfect will for us. If you agree with this prayer, say amen and amen. All right, I got a message for you today. It's gonna encourage some and just hit the others, okay? I said maybe I should get another hoodie that says like, sorry I stepped on your toes, or like, sorry I may have offended you, or whatever it is. I'm excited, you know, because this is Easter weekend, and it's something that I need to say is that there is something so beautiful about Jesus. So beautiful about Jesus. When you learn about him in his word, it changes a lot of stuff for you. It changes a lot of what you understand. It changes your view on people when you understand how Jesus viewed people. It changes your view on almost everything, marriage, whether you're single, whether you have a relationship, kids, family, loneliness, if that's where the kind of season you feel like you're in right now, knowing Jesus changes everything. Now, the problem with the world that we live in right now is the fact that I hate when something is so beautiful, but it's misrepresented by people, which makes you turned off from it. I'll give this analogy. Actually, it happened to me one time. I really wanted this pair of shoes, like really bad. And I saw someone somewhere at the mall. I can't remember if I was in line or whatever. I'm sure this story is changing just slightly between each service just because I can't exactly remember exactly where I saw what happened. But the person that was wearing the shoes I really wanted, and they just either went to a cashier or whatever it was and just treated this person just like garbage. Like, just did not do a good job at adding value to who he was talking to at the moment. And let me tell you how quickly I lost interest in buying those shoes. It happened quick. not telling. Maybe there's a car that you really want. And then you get cut off by a guy or a girl driving that car. And then while he's driving away, maybe they flip you a certain finger. It changes the car. And then another one. And then you start to realize the type of person that drives your favorite car is not the type of person that you want to be. Therefore, you're never going to even associate yourself with that car. Now imagine being Jesus. Imagine being Jesus, died, came to the world, died so that we could see a clear image of who he was, and then it's ruined by a lot of people that say they believe, but never become like him. They say they believe, but they're not Christians. Because if you're a Christian, you're Christ-like. And so I want to apologize to all of you guys that are out there right now, whoever it is sitting in these seats, that it was just nerve-wracking for you to step foot in another church because the last place you went, you had hurt. You had people that treated you wrong. Maybe it was from pastors. Maybe it was from churches. Maybe it was from religious people that say they believed in Jesus but never showed you who Jesus truly was. In fact, they turned you off from Jesus because of the way they acted. I want to say sorry because that sucks. And I never want you to feel that way here. Ever. The beauty is I'm senior pastor now, so I can kind of speak for the whole church. It's an insane responsibility. It has an insane weight, but it's one of the most life-giving things ever when you can learn about Jesus and add the value to people as Jesus would. And so today, I'm a firm believer that if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, it's probably just because you don't have the right image of him. It might not be your fault. It might be someone else's fault. Whoever's fault it is, someone didn't portray the right Jesus to you. And I'm sorry. But the moment you are introduced to the right Jesus, your life changes instantly. Instantly. So it gets me a little upset sometimes when certain things are meant to be beautiful and people misrepresent them. You ever meet someone that your friend told you all about the negative sides of this person before you even shook hands with them or said hi? Oh my gosh. I refuse now these days to let anyone tell me what someone is like. And I say, I will meet that person myself and that person will build a track record with me. And I'm not going to judge them either way, but then I can understand whether what you observed is actually correct or not. So many of us walk around with whatever friend it is that you have that gossips all day long. You got to tell them to shut their mouth sometimes because it's just unbelievable. And it's like, no, when you're close to Jesus, you actually become closer and have a deeper love for people. Not just the people you agree with. Huh? So many of us, the moment we meet someone, we want to know what we don't agree with. What if we lived in a world where you just tried to find something you did agree with them on? What if you just decided to talk to someone and say, let's talk about what we're both for? Changes your relationships when you find something that you can both celebrate rather than always find something that's dividing. Because let me tell you, I don't care what political side you're on. I don't care what you believe on that side of things. I'm saying it a little rudely by saying I don't care because Jesus would have been completely in the middle in the side of just accepting everyone, right? I'm not getting into politics right now. I'm just saying Jesus viewed everyone not as a political side or a bias, but viewed everyone as a child of God. And so God has a certain way that we should live, absolutely. But when you start to read the Bible and learn about Jesus, because this was the entire premise of Jesus before the 33 years that happened of him on earth was to show us how to live. But so many religious people don't know how to portray that to you. And we all mess up. I mess up. I get out of bed on the wrong side of the bed sometimes. My wife's not too proud of it sometimes. Sometimes we fight before I come and preach. You can laugh, it's okay. I'm like laughing, crying on the way here, going, it's gonna be okay. It's okay. It's just a fight. She's not gonna leave me. Oh, it's fun, isn't it? People make the world so fun. They can make the world really crappy too. But when you align yourself with Jesus, it changes absolutely everything. And when you choose to portray the right Jesus, the true Jesus, the gospel Jesus, the one that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you start to see that Jesus, what he did for us, and the love and the acceptance and the forgiveness, regardless of what you've come from, regardless of what you've done, regardless of how you feel, regardless of the shame that your parents may have made you feel, regardless of the friends that have ditched you because you changed your lifestyle, regardless of whatever it is, you start to realize that Jesus was completely motivated by love. And what is love? It's showing value to someone. When you start to read the Bible, it is unbelievable. One story really sticks out to me about Jesus, and that story is about the woman that was about to be stoned for committing adultery. And when you start to see how Jesus walked the earth, you start to realize how you can respond to similar things that you hear. I can tell you it wasn't judgment. Let's explain the story a little bit, actually. So back in the day, shame was a big thing. If you did something wrong, back in the day, they would make you walk naked through the streets. They'd throw stuff at you. They'd spit on you. When you did something that they considered shameful, they'd yell shame at you. They'd do all these different things that were absolutely disgusting. And so when someone's found in what they would portray as a sin in this time, I imagine this woman laying on the floor. I imagine that she was probably stripped of her clothing because that's the best way to show shame to someone, on that floor in the fetal position, trying to cover herself up as all these people around her are holding stones. Then I see Jesus in my imagination walk in. First of all, I imagine he just kind of lightly pushed through the circle, walked directly into the middle, looked at her, probably took off his cloak that he had and covered her up. Then probably went down like this and gave the hands. She probably put her hands in his. He probably lifted her up. And then we know what Jesus said. Jesus looked to the crowd around the woman and said, "He without sin cast the first stone." You know what would have been a really good sound in that moment that was probably very life-giving to that woman sitting there in shame? The sound of stones hitting the floor. As every single person that were gathered around watching, showing shame while covering up their own skeletons, their own closet, decided I can't stone them because I'm in sin. Now, there's only one person in that group that could have stoned her. Can you guess? Jesus. The Bible tells us that he was without sin, meaning he said only the person without sin can cast a stone. And then he didn't cast a stone. Instead, he said, whatever he said, love you. He just gave love and value and everything else that he could. He tried to make that woman feel that she had worth. And then he dealt with the sin at the end. He said, go on, sin no more. Do you think the sin no more comment was a judgmental one? No. He was probably understanding that I love you so much that I just don't even want to see you in sin, because if you're in sin, you're just not going to live the life that I have for you. I'll always be here with you, but I just don't want to watch you suffer. He said, so go sin no more. In other words, he changed this woman's life, not through judgment, through acceptance, and dealt with the sin by saying, go sin no more. Yet you have so many people in different churches, I'll say even pastors at different places, religious people that say they believe in Jesus, yet the first thing you feel from them is judgment. Doesn't make sense to me, because they obviously don't know the Jesus that I know. And I hope some of you that are sitting tightly right now because you're like, I don't know what to expect of church, breathe. You're okay. No one's going to hurt. Oh, I can't say no one's going to hurt you because people are people, right? But this church is not about that. This church is about value and acceptance and forgiveness and love. The fun thing is that when you come to this church and you start to believe in Jesus, the relationship with Jesus just makes a change. So many of us think we have to change others. Who's the last person you tried to change? How did it go for you? You know what I'm talking about. Didn't go well, did it? You start to realize that the only way you can change someone is by accepting who they are currently. So you break every wall down, which is showing them Jesus, by the way. And then moving on from there, going, you're good. Don't even worry about it. We're here together. We're going to make it through. Church cops are the most annoying ones. It's like they've found something and they live in a certain way. And they're like, yeah, I can now tell everyone how they need to live. And it's like, no, you don't actually at all. I mean, when's the last time that you felt judged and you felt good? Right? Never. I've never gone from a lunch and be like, man, that was great. They just pointed everything out that sucks about me. Oh, man. Why? Because if someone portrayed the wrong Jesus to you, I am sorry. And I want to do my best today in the remaining time that I have to make you realize that Jesus is not the person that probably someone's portrayed to you. And the fact that Jesus chose you. And Jesus will still choose you no matter what. And if you are the only person on this planet and you were never going to choose him, never spend eternity with him, he still would have died and still would have chose you. Just for the off chance that maybe while you live here, you might change your mind and welcome him in. But some of you are going to have to break down the walls of what you've experienced in your own family, with your own dads or moms, with your own aunties or uncles, with your own grandparents, with your own friends, in order to see Jesus clearly. And realize that just because Jesus created them doesn't mean they act like him. And we've now seen that just because Jesus created them, or just because they believe in Jesus doesn't mean they act like it either. It's quiet in here. But I hope you can breathe easy and realize that at Springs, at least, we'll always do our best to accept and love wherever you are. For the rest of you that consider this home your church, let's be Christ-like. Let's show value, okay? Let's not judge. Doesn't matter. You don't know where they're in, what they're doing. Just enjoy. So today I want to talk about three different misconceptions that people have. These misconceptions that people have are often because of so-called religious people or Christians or believers that treat these people differently, that makes them view Jesus in a wrong light. But the crazy thing for those of you that are believers that you don't realize you're doing is you're messing Jesus up for them. And if you mess Jesus up for them, you mess eternity up for them. That's such a big thing. We have to do our best. I screw up every day. But we have to do our best to always just be more like him. Have fun, enjoy, but just show value. Valuing people goes so far. So three misconceptions that are images in your head that I want to help correct. So for those that don't know Jesus and don't believe in him right now, this is for you. But for those of you that do believe in Jesus, this is for you to realize that this is the Jesus you need to show. Okay? So this should help absolutely everyone in this room, even if it's just steps, a couple steps closer, okay? The first one I want to talk about, misconception that we have, I'll say this. You see, many of us have misconceptions about Jesus, and we've because we've encountered portrayals of him that don't quite align with his true character. We've seen judgment where there should have been love. We see hypocrisy where there should have been humility. That's not the Jesus that I know. In fact, the Jesus that I know is completely opposite, and I really want to introduce you to him today. The first misconception that people have in their minds and an image they have in their mind is that there's always a wall up between them and God. Always. They've tried to climb that wall. They've tried to get around that wall. They tried to dig under that wall, and that wall's always there no matter what. They can never get connected and close to him. Never. Then Jesus came. And Jesus chose you and put a doorway in that wall that now you can access whenever you want. So there's no separation from God, even though he's a God and you think, well, he'd never know what I'm going through. No, he's actually, the Bible talks about him being very present in your everyday life. Jesus came, Jesus died, Jesus rose again, conquered the grave so we could live in victory too. But we have to choose Jesus. But once we choose Jesus and we say, I believe in you, Jesus, that doorway opens. You ever have someone in your house that you're just pumped when they get to your house or when you go to their house and they greet you with a hug and say, welcome here, make yourself at home, like it's so good to see you. You know that feeling people make you feel valued when you walk in there? That's exactly what Jesus does. You don't have to walk through the doorway. Jesus walks out to you. He's just waiting for you to choose him. That's it. Jesus chose you and put a doorway in that wall that you see between you and God so that you can always, you can accept Jesus and he'll walk right through that doorway for you. In Ephesians 2, verse 13 to 14, it says this to back up that point. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, so by the cross. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, making two one. That's how amazing that is. The second misconception that we have, the first one's a wall. It's not a wall, it has a doorway in it. And you control that doorway. All you gotta do is believe in Jesus. The second one is a staircase. Many people that don't know Jesus view a relationship with him as a staircase. They think God's at the top of the staircase, and they think they are at the bottom. So they're over here. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus and you're looking up, do I look fine from behind? Good? Okay, good. And they're looking up to Jesus, God, whatever it is, same thing. And they're saying, I will never connect with him because every Christian I've ever known that weren't Christians, by the way, portrayed that I have to be perfect in order to have a relationship with him. I have to strive every single day to become better all of the time. And that's the only way that I'll ever connect with God. If you have that image of Jesus, I'm going to tell you, and relax, I'm just on the floor now, okay? I know I'll be like, what is he doing? There's a stage there for a reason, right? But what did Jesus do? Jesus died, and he stood at the bottom of the staircase with his arms like this, and he said, all you have to do is believe in me. You can come as you are, with as much hurt and pain that you've experienced, with shame, with guilt, with wishing you might have lived your life different, but you can just come hug me. And they come to Jesus, they hug him. And what was a staircase, Jesus provided, because he chose you, provided an elevator. An effortless way to get to God. You ever stepped into an elevator? You just step in, you just click the floor. There's only one floor in this elevator, and it's God. That's it. And what does Jesus do? He brings you up that staircase that you thought was perfection, that you thought was works, that you thought was you have to be a certain way in order to be accepted by God. God created you. It doesn't matter what you do in this world. I don't care how bad you go down a path into a hole. God accepts you. Period. There's no other way. Don't allow a religious person. I hate religion. It bothers me to my very core. If we think that Jesus came to the world to die so that everyone would believe slightly different things about him and never connect. Can you imagine Jesus? Okay, God, get this. Send me to die. And once I die, it's going to be good. Let's confuse them forever. You know? That would be good. That would be good. Let's make them all believe in slightly different things and all fight about everything. That's a religion. Okay? This is not a religious church. It's not. This is a Christ-like church. This is a church that we strive to be like Christ. I don't know who you're going to meet in the halls. We accept everyone. And maybe they're on their journey that they still have a tough time accepting you. And I'm sorry if they do. But this church is about becoming more like Jesus all we can. What does that look like? It's just reading about him, learning about him, loving him. Because if you have a good image of Jesus, it changes how you relate to him. Every relationship that you have is made greater or stronger, have a bigger and greater foundation if your view is correct and they are a great valuing person. You know what I'm saying? When you know someone in your relationship and you're like, and you love who they are, it changes how you connect with them. It's unfortunate that so many of us have been turned off from Christianity because we met someone who says they believe and says they represent Jesus and manipulated the crap out of you and said all these different things that hurt you, and now you never want to relate to Jesus because the way that he portrayed him to you, you want nothing to do with that type of person. Doesn't that suck? It sucks so bad, and you're messing with eternity. The mantle that is placed on my shoulders now, being a senior pastor, is a heavy one. Why? Because if I hurt someone, sometimes it wrecks them for eternity. Because I'm a pastor. So if you've been hurt by a pastor in your past, I am so sorry. But please give me another shot. I will make it up to you. I promise. Because I've connected to Jesus. Not because I'm a pastor, just because I read about him. And decided to break my own walls down with how people have portrayed Jesus to me. And I thought, I'm not going to trust that person. I want to go see for myself. So it's beautiful that you're here. I don't care if you're an unbeliever for the rest of the year and you keep coming to church. Keep coming. I'd rather have an unbeliever here for a year than a judgmental Christian. And like I said, we accept everyone, even the judgmental Christians. They can change too, absolutely. I have no problem with it. But it's like, I just have no time for people that are so judgmental. Like, why? Why are we always like that? Everything pushes judgment all the time. It just seems like whatever it is that's out there, I don't know, the spirit of Satan almost, it feels like. It's crazy. It's just like, we live in a fallen world now, and it's just like, well, we've always lived in a fallen world, but it's just crazy. It's like, why is that the first thing people think of is judging all of the time? I get stuck in it sometimes. Sometimes you're just having an off day and you're rushing someone. And you're like, hey, come on, let's go. This guy was driving super slow in front of me. And then I like ripped past him the other day. And I was like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. And then I look in the driver's seat. And it's like this like 16-year-old kid with his dad teaching him. I'm like, oh my gosh. You get humbled so quick, right? Because your every day sometimes means the most to you. And it's as if everyone, the sea needs to part for Zach. When it doesn't, okay? Same for you though, right? We get in the stuck sometimes. We're all in our on our journey right now. That wasn't a voice crack. I chose to go that high. Oh man. I love you guys. I hope you know this is always from love and acceptance and forgiveness, and I will always love you and accept you for who you are, but also realize that the moment you walk through these doors and accept the Jesus that I know, you will not help but change. You can't not. Right? So I love you too much to keep you where you are. And so does Jesus. So we have to get over these stupid things that other people have portrayed to us. And if you're someone who sits there that's more on the side of religion than you are Christianity, switch over to the Christianity side and become more like Jesus. And maybe you don't know who Jesus is because you don't read your Bible, but now you believe in him, and so you just think that everything's transferred into your spirit. You know, no, you got to read the Bible. Learn actually who it is and allow that to really take a hold of your heart and who you are and your consciousness and everything else that goes along with it, because if we don't, man, does it mess up life for us and for other people. Sometimes, some people are never going to see Jesus through the Word of God. They're only going to see Jesus through how you portray him. And if you don't portray him properly, you are literally making someone walk into hell willingly because they don't want to be like you. Isn't that crazy? It's unbelievable to me. It actually breaks my heart. I do believe Jesus will come through to that person, even through the hurt and whatever it is, if someone else doesn't. But still, that's my own belief. I have no biblical scripture to back that up with, but that's my opinion. Okay, because Jesus loves you so much that if someone screwed it up for you, he doesn't want to leave you there. But Christians shouldn't want to leave you there either. Sorry. Ephesians 2, verse 13 to 14. This is the next one, the staircase. In the staircase analogy, you got to view that elevator as Jesus bringing you in that elevator and bringing you right up to God, connecting you with him. Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Ugh, so many people boast. Drives me insane. It's like, just get over yourself, you know? It's like, we're all on a journey. We all have our wins. You know, it's great. You're not all you think you are sometimes, you know? I got to tell myself that. Sometimes the biggest problem I got to get over is me. Most of the time, actually. You know, everywhere I go, there I am. I'm just being honest here, guys. It's just crazy, right? We got to get over ourselves, and we got to realize that we need to become more like Jesus. I'm not saying your life's going to be boring. Actually, God will instill desires within you that will make you go, whoa, I've never viewed it this way before. It's crazy. The Word of God says that he'll give you the desires of your heart. Everyone's like, yes, I'm going to get that Lamborghini. Yes, I'm going to get that mansion on the hill. No, actually, I believe it completely different. He's going to instill new desires within you, the ones that you've always been aligned to, but maybe you just kind of wandered away from them, and then you realize that your desires was never that mansion, it was never that Lamborghini, although if your works in today's day and you have the ability to accumulate wealth within your business and whatever it is with the gifts that God's given you, I'm talking really fast so you can get it where I'm coming from. Okay, Maybe you'll get those things, maybe you won't. But that's to do with your own effort on this in this world and your own making sure that you better yourself. John Maxwell says, hey, aging is inevitable. It's automatic. But getting better, that's your choice. And that's a big one, right? So as we go forward, it's amazing to realize, but I really want you to have I want Jesus portrayed in a way that makes you connect with him. The third misconception, the image that people have in their mind that aren't connected to Jesus yet is that there's a massive gap between them and God. The distance is real in that moment. They believe that that gap is there. It'll never go away. They'll never connect to God because he's a God. Jesus walked the earth, but Jesus was God, okay? He wasn't a human. It's like, no, actually, the Bible's very clear on the fact that they needed to send a human being in the form of Jesus to the world to have the same temptations as us, to bleed the same blood that we do, to have the same hurts and feelings, have the times where they sleep at night and they feel like they woke up on the wrong side of the bed. He felt all the same feelings as you, but just didn't sin. But you got to thank yourself, thank God that Jesus didn't sin, because the way that it worked was that they needed someone completely perfect in order to have that sacrifice of him dying so that all of our sins would be forgiven. That's where it comes from. It's unbelievable. In the Word of God, it says, Hebrews 4, verse 15 to 16, and now that we know what we have, Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God, let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right, bless you, let's right up to him, walk right up into him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy, accept the help. Amen? I had to get over myself. I thought I was a guy's guy. I'm like, I don't need God. I could do this myself. Man, the first thing I walked through, and then sometimes you just go through something that was way too hard for you, you're like, I need God right away. And you got to humble yourself and realize you don't know it all. And the moment you know it all, no one wants to be around you. Ain't that the truth? Right? You all know that's true. Don't look to your neighbor. Know-it-alls suck. If you're unteachable, you're dead. You know what I mean? You're always teachable. You should always have a humble heart as you approach people, as you approach church. Me too. Some people can't get over the fact that I'm 29 years old and a senior pastor. Get over it, okay? Sometimes people can have what God can speak through a 29-year-old, can he? I get I'm young. I get I wear sweaters on the stage, okay? But I love you guys too. So it's like, that's just what it's from, though. I just want to learn with you. I just want to get into God's word every single day, and I want to learn to love that journey every single day alongside all of you, and realize we'll learn as we go and realize that we'll never know it all, but we get to connect with God each and every day. And that's what makes it so exciting for me, is that every day I get to wake up and go, there's something new to learn, and there's something that I can apply to my life that will take me to this next level with Jesus. And that's something that always gets me out of bed. And so realize that there's no gap between you and God. It says right there that he's literally walked the earth like us. He's felt the temptations like you. He didn't sin so he could die for us. So he provided a bridge in that gap that you don't even have to walk across. Talk about convenience, hey? You don't got to order an Uber or anything. It's just like you're good to go. In fact, Jesus walks across the bridge for you. All you have to do is say, I choose you. All you have to do is say, I just believe. Not even say, you just, in your heart, you believe in Jesus now. But you got to get over that whoever it is that portrayed Jesus in a bad way to you. It is so, it's just sick. It's just gross. It's just, I don't like when people don't view Jesus the way that I know him. But when you read his word, you find out real quick who he is and that he loves you every single day of your life. Absolutely. I hope I got across this point. I'm only halfway through my message, but I'm just gonna cap it right there, because I love you guys so much, and I really want you to connect to the Jesus that I know. I know many of you are already, but there's some of you sitting here. Maybe you never come to church, and you're like, I don't like church. I was hurt when I was younger. That sucks. I'm sorry. Church shouldn't be that for you. Church should have been something where you can create a community, a family, enjoy learning about Jesus, knowing you don't know everything, but you're willing to learn. Thank goodness you can become better every day, hey? The moment you feel like you've made it, man, what's the point of life? I can tell you Jesus' point of life is just to add value to every single person that he came into contact with, and so that's what I want to do. I want to show Jesus to every single person that I come into contact with so that they can experience the life that, not that my life's any better, I just have a different perspective. Jesus is my everything. That's why I don't mind wearing this. You know how long I thought about not wearing this? Because I thought, I don't know if people are going to like that I'm wearing this hoodie on stage. And then I said, you know what? Screw it. I don't care. I said, let's break down the stereotypes. Let's just go have some fun. You know what I mean? I was like, whatever. Every single week we take time to pray and allow people to choose to accept Jesus in their life. It's nothing more than you just choosing to believe in him, and we're going to pray for that in a second. But before we get to what I call salvation prayer, there's a video with a few stories that I think will really impact you. So why don't you direct your attention to the screen first, and then we'll come back up and we'll pray. Isn't that amazing? And that makes me proud to say that's the Jesus that I know. Not the one that's maybe been portrayed to you in the wrong way. But it's cool to see people's lives change when they know the true Jesus. Some of you have some belief systems to get over in order to ever even get into that side of believing in Jesus, because what you've always learned, what you've already have preconceived ideas about it. You've had people in the church, in churches, that are so-called believers that just never showed you the biblical Jesus. They showed you their weird interpretation of it. But in a moment, I want to pray for anyone that wants to give their life to Jesus in the way that say, I believe in Jesus now. And for many of you, for some of you, it's going to take you guys dropping the hurt, the shame, the guilt that might be in your past, preconceived notions or ideas. But realize that when you do, and you're introduced to the real Jesus, your life changes. It does preach well, but it's true too. Can I get everyone to bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around, every eye closed. Just want to respect this moment. In a moment, I just want to count to three. And when I count to three, you know in your spirit right now whether you want to believe in Jesus, and that you do believe in Jesus, because maybe the story's just solidified it for you in that video. Maybe the message today hit home. Maybe the message last week hit home and you've been here a couple weeks in a row and now you want to. Or maybe you're just completely new here and you're like, yeah, I have always thought of Jesus completely different than where you've portrayed him. Realize that I'm not portraying him any way that the Bible doesn't describe him. I just learned what I know from the Bible. So I'm going to count to three, and for those of you that want to choose Jesus today and believe in him, all you got to do is slip your hand up. No one looking around. This is between just me, you, and God. I'm going to count to three. One, two, three. All around the auditorium, wherever you are, if that's you, just raise that hand up. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you. Man, this never gets old. But guess what? You're gonna make me cry up here now too. Jesus loves you, man. Woman, child, Jesus chose you. And he'll choose you every single day. And my prayer is that you choose him every day as well. With every amazing person that made this decision today, as a congregation, let's support them. Let's all pray out loud this prayer. Repeat after me. The prayer goes like this. Father, in Jesus' name, I give you my life. Please come into my heart. From today and on, I'm following you. Give me the power to change every day. Every year, for the rest of my life. Jesus, I'm following you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give a round of applause to all the amazing people that made that decision. Thank you. So good. It's so